720 WGN. It is Dane here with you on the 4th of July, overlooking a beautiful Chicago. A little toasty out there, but a great day to get out there and celebrate with food and family, friends, maybe a little fireworks done in moderation, of course, safely as well. And if you can add a little bit of live fire into it, I guess you're ahead of the game. It's always great to talk to the man behind the live fire breaking news broadcast for the barbecue world. He is calling us live from his BBQ headquarters in Cleveland, Ohio, the one and only Greg Rempe. Welcome to WGN.
Dane, thanks for having me. Looking forward to talking with you.
Yeah, what's the weather like there, first off? You know, we want to be able to, is it raining or is it hot like it is here? Is it the same? What's it like in Cleveland?
82 degrees, wall-to-wall sunshine, chime time, 1:32 Eastern.
Well, I love it, man. We're going to go out to you a little bit later with the traffic report. You can tell us what it's like out on the roadways.
Yeah, right.
Now, here's one thing that I've wanted to let the listeners know. If you love barbecue, if you love grilling and smoking and all the things related to that discipline, this is a guy who's been doing it for over a dozen years before podcasts were even, I don't want to say even a thing, before they were even easy or even practically possible. But I feel, Greg, and I want to know, you've always been talking, just as we have so many contemporaries in the world, to the top people and those great personalities and the top teams and all that kind of stuff. But are you finding, I'm feeling like barbecue's kind of breaking through to the mainstream. The other day I was at our grocery store and there was like a Pit Boss pellet grill in the grocery store. And I'm thinking, geez, you know what? Something's changing out there. Are you getting that vibe too?
I think a lot of it stems back 5 years ago, 6 years ago, when you saw it on television a lot, when John Marcus had Barbecue Pitmasters on television. You know, that ran for 8 or 9 seasons, and it showed a lot of folks like you and me who aren't world-class athletes, but here's a discipline or a sport that you could get into. We could argue for an hour if barbecue competitions are a sport or not, just like we could argue if golf is a sport or not, but we'll leave that conversation for a different time. But here's something that you or I could get into and go up against the best in the country, pay an entry fee, go to that competition, and see where your four meats stack up with the best across the land. So as that gains steam, then that makes everybody in the backyard want to jump in and also exercise and grow their talents. It's not just one grill anymore. Now you're seeing backyards with multiple different kinds of cookers, charcoal grills, gas grills, pellet cookers, stick burners. It runs the gamut, and I think maybe the competition scene has started to dip a little bit, but the backyard is hotter than it has ever been. And yeah, I don't see any shot of it slowing down in the near or perhaps distant future.
No, I think once, and of course we all know Barbecue Pitmaster on Destination America and our good friends, you know, Tuffy and Myron and those guys. And I think it was a great introduction, and we've all talked with all of those guys about that show, what it meant and kind of where it brought them as far as the public consciousness. But it didn't necessarily make it seem that much more approachable or easier. I'm sure it inspired a lot of people to get involved, you know, that were maybe on that edge of being able to be competition cookers, but now you're seeing where it is just so much more approachable, you know. And outside of I'm trying to think of the backyard sports that are sports, jarts is one that I think of. Of course, it's very dangerous, so I would, you know, put a disclaimer out there, you shouldn't do it. But as far as sports that you can kind of, or just disciplines or passions or pastimes, you know, cooking in the backyard is one of those things that you can do. It even golf, and you can decide, you know, whether that's a sport or not. I think it pretty much is a sport, but you still got to go someplace. This is something you can do in your backyard. And now, and you brought up some of the different accoutrements on the cooker side, is that it's just become so much more available. Now almost all your hardware stores have more than just that Weber kettle.
Well, I think you've hit on a good point there, Dane, and the access to multiple different kinds of cookers. If charcoal isn't your scene, like I live in a house of 4 other women, and they don't have the same affinity for a charcoal smoked or charcoal kissed meat as much as I do. So I cook for the majority. That's why I'll use a pellet cooker, or I'll use the stick burner as I'm using today with some ribs on there right now while we're chatting. So you, nice. You have an ability to really accommodate the masses, and if one type of cooker isn't your bag, then that's fine. Also, people's thirst for knowledge on better meats, building relationships with butchers and their meat purveyors, this all adds to the raising of just the general knowledge of live fire cooking. And again, in the backyard, that's really where it's excelling. People see tomahawks on television. They see Duroc brand pork. They see these kind of chickens, and of course the Wagyu and prime briskets. It's all raising the level. It's not just your commodity stuff. And by the way, nothing wrong with commodity stuff, by the way. But you have options, and people know there's options, and they're willing to spend some extra money, especially now. Maybe you're not out traveling. Maybe you're not going on a vacation. So you have a couple extra bucks to either buy another cooker or really upgrade that meat.
Yeah, I mean, and it's changed so much as far as just the access to information. And the internet is out there, whether it allows you to get and kind of receive more Greg Rempe and the Barbecue Central show in different ways and different kind of formats. The internet is out there and it is helping. And I'll tell you, it's helping in everything. And I'm sure the listeners know and understand this too, is like you can put anything in there and there will be someone kind of showing you how to do it. You know, it'd be like we've had to say, like, let's change the brake pads on a 2017 Hyundai Elantra. All I have to do is put that in there. And there is a guy, bless him, that is there in his garage. I cannot imagine what he is doing. He's not sponsored by anyone and no one is. He's like, so you want to change the brake pads? And he does it, right? So no matter what it is, changing a light bulb, brake pads, anything that you can think of, the information is out there. And on the barbecue side, it is as well. And where it used to be, probably when you started that show, it was, you know, so many of the techniques and the rubs and all of that stuff on the competition side for the quality was kind of cloaked in mystery, you know, as close to the vest and all that kind of stuff. And now, boom, just a couple minutes on there and you can get some of the best in the business teaching you exactly how to make it right in your own backyard.
And you don't have to go anywhere. The Barbecue Central show in the beginning, Dane, was the go-to, especially on the competition side, when I would have roundtables with top cooks in KCBS joining me and really giving an all reveal on what their processes were, all the way from picking out the meat to trimming and seasoning during the cooking process, and then how they're actually turning it in. We did backyard versions of that as well for folks that weren't competitors. But fast forward to where we're at, just to make your point as well, it's just a proliferation of stuff on the internet anymore. So if you have a question, if you want to know a technique, if you want to see if there's anything else out there, all you have to do is Google it or go to YouTube, right, and you will be inundated with an incredible amount of options. And then you just try and see what works best for you, take notes, and then the next time you can make your tweaks.
Yeah, but you have access. You have the ability to have you really the masters there helping you. And so you're able to create quality things in the backyard that maybe you weren't able to at all, right? It would have been tough. You really had to get into it and make a different kind of commitment, whether it was dollars or time. And now it is available. I know that when we had talked about last night having you on and some of the things that we would touch on, and since it is, of course, Independence Day, this is a time when our country gets out there and celebrates and comes together with all of us as Americans. I think as more of the things that are happening in the backyard, I think it's inevitable. You have some people that want to, you know, just from a pride situation, want to, you know, showcase what it is that they have or say that they can either do it better or they've got better equipment. And some of the equipment out there, some of the cookers, whether it's the Big Green Egg or maybe some of the more expensive things on the pellet grill side, you know, they're kind of like status symbols now, right? You go in the backyard and you see something like a Kalamazoo, you know that these people care about what it is that they're doing. So let's talk about that, like how that is coming into it. I, for myself, you know, just to let the listeners know, on the Kamado side, I've got a Kamado Joe, I've got a Big Green Egg, I've got a Vision. I like them all, you know, so I'm not one of those that has this whole kind of status thing. But is that some of the things that you're seeing where cookers are shaming other cookers into like, hey, you got to get this or you're not doing it right if you don't have the right stuff?
I think that's across any industry. If you look at it, there's always the higher end that could be perceived as thumbing their nose or they're a bit stuffy, or as you said, if you don't have it, then perhaps your end product isn't going to be as good. I don't buy that at all. I think as long as you know your cooker, that goes all the way back to the beginnings of my show, and the first pieces of advice that I'd got when I had found the virtualweberbullet.com was know your cooker, learn your cooker, how does it work? That way you can use anything and make a great end product. Now, the other mantra in barbecue is buy the best and only cry once. So I tend to agree that if you have the money to buy a more expensive cooker, those tend to lend themselves to a more quality build and better materials and all the things that go along with a bigger price tag. Does that necessarily mean that it's automatically going to cook better food for you? No, that's on you. You have to know the techniques. You have to know and hone your skills. But from a ease of use standpoint or helping you be that better cook, always the bigger the better is. The bigger and the better.
Yeah, and you're, and if you could start with the, with decent meat, and you mentioned some of the commodity stuff, I think the level is raised in all areas of what is available out there. Just like you're seeing at your fast food restaurants, you know, nowadays they have brioche buns, and so every the whole food world has kind of elevated itself. But I know at being part of those conversations, you know, with Cachone 555 on the heritage breed pork side, and then you're looking at some of the things that are done on the brisket side, and then of course the ribs. We'll be talking about those a little bit later. Have you seen that too? Is, you know, you got to say you got to start with good stuff in order to come and have that be, you know, what pops out on the other end at the end of the cook. But I think the whole meat thing has kind of raised its game as well.
Rule number four of the Barbecue Central show, Dane, is start with good meat and something good is going to happen. It's an inevitable. The better products that you start out with, the better end product, as long as you're doing your part as the cook. The end product is going to be. So if you have the ability to buy a prime brisket or a Wagyu brisket, there is going to be an appreciable difference on the palate and in taste. Likewise with, you know, all the other meats that you can get your hands on, and they're widely available anymore. You don't have to run 4 hours or 6 hours or two states down the road in order to get your hand on a specialty piece. It's all available on the internet. My go-to place is a guy down in Pensacola, Florida, of all places, called The Butcher Shop. I have two racks of Allegiance Duroc ribs on my lang right now. I have two boneless turkey breasts that he sent me up, and nice. Last night we had some really great 1.5-inch thick prime ribeye. So it's there. If you can't afford it all the time, then don't buy it all the time, but save your pennies, and when a special occasion or holiday like today shows up, then take what you've saved and buy it and enjoy a little bit.
Access is available on the internet, including, of course, the Barbecue Central show, and people have developed a taste for what it is, Greg, that you are cooking on the radio and broadcast side. And so before we let you go, give information how people can kind of tune in, get in, see whether it's some of those great guests or past episodes, how they can get in on what you're doing.
It's the return of IndyCars to Road America in Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin for the NTT IndyCar Series.
Sorry, Greg, go ahead.
It's a live show on the internet Tuesdays from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, and then it is a podcast after the fact, first hour on Wednesday, second hour on Thursday. I do have a best of show on Friday. All you have to do is go to thebbqcentralshow.com, and you have links to watch it live or just hear it live, and you don't have to look at me, and subscribe to the podcast there as well. Big show coming up Tuesday. We have Malcolm Reed from How to Barbecue Right, Sam the Cooking Guy, out in San Diego, and Mike McLeod from World Food Championships is nice. Going to come on and talk about some cool things that are going on in that whole realm of World Food Championship stuff. So tune in live. It's always great, but otherwise get it on podcast, and I'm always happy to join on the air with you, Dan.
Yeah, we love it. The best in the business, and always great to have you on, and encourage the listeners to get in on some of that action, all of that fun, and all, of course, that knowledge and those great guests. So, Greg, thanks so much for what you're doing. We'll let you get back. I don't want you to make it, you know, you coming on with me as your excuse for things not turning out right, so we'll let you get back to the family in the fourth, and thanks for jumping on the show today.
I set it up right. I want to say hello to Bobby and Becky, who are listening to me live in the swim spa right now. And now I have to go tend my pork.
All right. Thanks, Greg. We'll talk to you soon. All right. So we are going to take a break, and we come back on the good food side. Now on the good cause side, we're going to talk to Greg Alonzo, Carolyn Alonzo from Speakeasy, and things that they're doing now. So keep it here, 720 WGN.